Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayefsky. I hope we all had a very pleasant and meaningful Hanukkah. The Parsha is finally a happy one because we bring to a close, it's not a close, but at least a happy midway point in the life of Bnei Yisrael at this point in time, because we're nearing the end of the Tekufa Sa'avos. But what we saw last week, when Yosef sets up his brother, frames Binyamin, for the sake of letting his dream come true, one is forced to ask the problem, why is he causing his father so much grief and attempting? Does he want this to kill his father or what? The truth is perhaps that he was hoping that since exactly what Yehuda said, the Ozavis Aviv Omeis, that he would never let Binyamin out of his sight, and therefore he would be forced that if Binyamin were to have to come down, that he would accompany Binyamin on the way down to Mitzrayim, and that would make the dreams come true, and this way Yaakov would never leave his side. But as Yehuda continues his impassioned plea for the sake of Binyamin, willing to go through with his thought of Anochi Erevenu Miyodi Tevakshenu, to put his life on the line for him, then this is what would cause him to break down. But we have to look at the situation in another way, that Yosef still wasn't sure, because even though Yehuda was making this impassioned plea, he thought perhaps that since, as Yehuda claimed, Yozavis Aviv Vomeis, that could be that the same way all these lies had been promulgated for the past 22 years, that maybe Yaakov was no longer alive at any way at this point anyhow, and Binyamin had been alone. One thing that we didn't mention last week, which is very important, is very interesting to note that when Binyamin came down, that Binyamin Yosef wanted to make sure, because the same way they didn't recognize him, he would not, because when he left Binyamin, Binyamin was a few years younger than Yosef, and certainly the last time he saw Binyamin, Binyamin was yet a teenager, even that, and now he was a grown man. And how would he know what Binyamin looked like? And that's why it says, Vayotze Elohem es Shimon. When Binyamin came down, immediately he took out Shimon, he released Shimon and brought him there. And the purpose of that was obviously to show good faith, but on the other hand, it was a very sharp thing for Yosef to do, because the truth is he knew that he would not recognize Binyamin. They could have sent down one of their servants dressed up as another brother in the same type of clothing, whatever it is, and none would be the wiser. But the reality is, by bringing Shimon front and center, Yosef would be watching the eyes of Shimon, and he would be able to tell from Shimon's face if this was his brother or not. His eyes would give him away the shock of seeing somebody else take the place of Binyamin, or if this was really Binyamin, and that was the point of bringing him out at this point in time. But getting back to the original story over here, Vayigash Elov Yehuda, it's very interesting that he was so impertinent, Yehuda, that he would get close up to the king. And of course, many in the Mefarshim want to suggest that Yehuda wanted to show Binyamin his strength, that they would make up how to literally destroy Egypt. But what, of course, would make Yehuda think that this was just the same as Shechem, where Shimon Alevi wiped out Shechem under, they were all incapacitated because of the Bris Milah, when in reality now we're looking at an Egyptian army and there are only 10 of them. Did he think that God could really help them out and be menatzeach, be victorious, and extract Binyamin under these circumstances? That was certainly a pie in the sky. And some want to suggest, at least, that Vayigash Elov Yehuda, that Yehuda wanted, so to speak, to whisper that you may take us and we may lose the battle, but I'm telling you right now, Yosef, that I am so close to you that even if only one of you die, it's going to be you. You will be the first Egyptian casualty. So I just want to make that very clear to you. So if you want to go ahead with this, fine. But the truth of the matter is, Yehuda wanted to save face. And what I mean was, I interpreted this parsha as Yosef, the ultimate politician. And the reason is that Yosef, obviously, through all the negotiations, is trying to put, so to speak, his best foot forward. It always appears that Yosef is trying to hide behind good manners and say, Eso l'kim ani yorei, and all the things of that nature, trying to make himself out to be an honest, reasonable person, when in fact he's doing such unreal things to make Binyamin suffer, to make his father suffer, to make the brothers suffer, which certainly we understand. But the fact remains, did Yosef, was this any sort of revenge, or did Yosef have a plan as a politician? Was this any way that he would be getting even with them? And the answer is no, not really. Because if we think about the relationship between Yosef and his brothers, Yosef realized, Vayaveh Yosef Estibosom Ro'el Avihem, he realized what he did, but nevertheless, had he been home with them all these years, and they had lorded it over him, and sold and treated him as a slave while he was home, he might have had this hatred build up over these 22 years. But since they were separated and he was in Egypt for these 22 years and they were alone, he didn't have that feeling towards them, especially now that for the last 9 years he had been a viceroy in Egypt. And the feeling of hatred had actually left him at this point in time, especially now when he saw that the dreams were coming true, when he was totally convinced that God was the master conductor here of everything that was going on. And he meant it sincerely when he says, when he's misvada, to when he makes himself known to his brother, and he says, Ki Hashem shlochani, don't be afraid, v'ato al teyatzvu, he, you know, don't be afraid now. Maybe later on God has other plans, but in the meantime, I have no ill will. It's the brothers who are suspicious and cannot believe, because they had this hatred built up all these years. And hopefully Yosef wanted to be the one to make it dissipate. And what I mean by the ultimate politician is two-sided over here. Is very interestingly enough, when it says, when Yosef says that he came below Yechol Yosef lehisapek lechol anit savim alav, when Yosef could no longer hold back. And of course, as I mentioned in previous years, Rabbi Alpert makes a point of saying what was the actual cause of Yosef breaking down was that Yaakov prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tein lochem rachamim lefnei yoish, that this person, this king, this Tzafnas Paneach should feel mercy and break down. And of course, that was the cause of Yosef breaking down. But the fact is, at this point in time, when it says, V'lo yachol Yosef lehisapeh, and he told everybody to get away. He didn't want everybody to hear. But it says, when he cried out loud, regardless of the fact that they may have left the room, everybody heard. It says, everybody heard. But the fact remains, this is problematic, because people would wonder. The people in the palace that were close to Yosef certainly knew the whole thing of why he was mistreating the brothers. He was mistreating. And the fact is that he set up Binyamin, because when it says Vayimotzei Hagovia Be'amtachas Binyamin, he had given instructions for somebody to put his goblet in Binyamin's sack. So they knew this was a frame up. And they knew that, and everybody, so he had to pretend to cry and act as if he did not know these were his brothers. He was being the ultimate politician with his brothers, but he was being the ultimate politicians with his fellow Egyptians as well. So when it says, Vayishma Beis Paro, he had to pretend to cry and act as if he never knew that these were his brothers, to not only to his brothers, but obviously the brothers would know, so they weren't fooled. But the Egyptians needed to be fooled, because if they see that, if they found out the whole story, they would not treat the brothers well. Certainly that they tried to harm or even kill their great leader that they have so much love for. And of course, everything is mida keneged mida, as we mentioned when it says Uli Adon l'chol beiso, Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. That was everything that happened in his dream is being interpreted. Yosef is saying as exactly as I had in the dream. But now, what is Yosef's excuse for all of that's going on over here? Because it's really very problematic what Yosef is doing now when he's making these speeches to them. And he does, if you notice, when it says when he was misvada, when he let himself know, when he let the cat out of the bag, what happened at the end, he just says, Ani Yosef. He doesn't say, Ani Yosef achichem, asher mechartem osim etzraimah, until everybody is away, when it says, Vayikshu elov. He said, Yishono elai vayigoshu, and he tells everybody to draw close. He wants to make absolutely certain that nobody else is listening, so that when he reveals himself that, I am Yosef, your brother, nobody hears when he says, Asher mechartem osim etzraimah, because that would create a major problem for his brothers. They would be arrested for what they had been doing. So Yosef needs to keep up a pretense of not knowing they were his brothers to his fellow Egyptians, or not, shouldn't say his fellow Egyptians, but the people in the palace, and the story, of course, that would get out. But more than that, we have more developing over here. What was Yosef's plan over here this whole time? What is Yosef actually thinking, that this could go on and on and on, that this would be, and certainly Yaakov could not survive all of these things? And why is he forcing the issue? He wanted to see that since he knew that they're going into Gullus, he needed to establish one major factor, that they were willing to stand up for each other. When they took away Shimon in last week's Sedra, Vayesoro Solienei Hem, it says that specifically, Lienei Hem, to make sure that they saw that he took Shimon away. Of course, Shimon being the firecracker, he takes away Shimon, and they do absolutely nothing. And this disturbs Yosef very much, and he says, I know the Gullus is about to start, and they are not ready for Gullus because there is no unity. And this is what we see later on, when Yehuda is finally making his plea and saying that regardless, he wants to show it's a show of strength, but also not to whisper in Yosef's ear, Vayigash elov, so that if Yosef finally, he gets to Yosef, so to speak, pulls at his heartstrings, that Yosef is not embarrassed, that he backs down, and so nobody else would hear why, what was going on, the conversation between them. And so he was being a politician, but Yosef is doing the same thing. But nevertheless, we have another problem here. Even when the brothers come back, and after Yosef reveals himself, and Yosef tells them, Al tigrezu badarech, I don't want to see any finger pointing, we have another problem over here. And Yaakov, it says, Elohem min lohem, he doesn't believe them. And what would be the reason he doesn't believe them? Because he believes the fact that Yosef is alive, but he's very difficult to comprehend one simple fact. If Yosef has been a viceroy in Egypt for the last 9 years and has not sent word that he is alive, he didn't send a messenger to say, I survived under whatever circumstances they were, then this is not my son Yosef. This is not who I brought up to be, a Shomer Torah mitzvos, a member of Klal Yisrael, to somebody who would let his father twist in the wind for 9 years and not tell somebody that he's safe and sound, let alone being the viceroy, to say that he's doing well and maybe try to arrange a visit, which he certainly could have done during the 7 years of plenty, which he would have had a good excuse to go to take a trip as the viceroy. At that point, they might have let him take a trip. And this is not my son Yosef. And if he has become an Egyptian, he's become one of them, then I don't want to know. Ki lo hem min lo hem. I don't want to believe that about my son. And that is, the symbolism is not Vayaris or Agalos Asher Tolach Lahem Lo Seiso. So it's not necessarily the wagon loads that he said. It's that Yosef tells the brothers exactly verbatim what to say to them. And he said that God, Vayishlocheni Hashem Lifneichem Losur Lochem, you know, to have a place to survive, because there is going to be famine, and this is the only way we'll survive. But he invokes the name of God 2-3 times to say this was God's plan, and it's all in the hands of God, and that there's nothing to fear, that this is what God wants. And he keeps on stressing and emphasizing that fact, that it's all the hand of God. And that is what triggers. We always look for the trigger, that Yaakov knows that Yosef has still remained a true Jew, and he hasn't lost his identity as Yosef, his son, that he put so much energy into 17 years. And then, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, and that is where we get to when he reveals himself. The problem becomes, though, what is Yosef, what was his plan all along? And we know that it is a very interesting phrase, that when Bnei Yisrael were given the command much later on, when we get to Truman Tetzaveh, to build the Mishkan, there's a phrase, V'habriach HaTichon Mavriach B'soch HaKroshim Min HaKotzeh El HaKotzeh. The Mishkan had to have, it's like a support beam. There was one rod, one long beam that would run Min HaKotzeh El HaKotzeh, from one end to the other, one staunch support beam that had to hold up the whole situation, so to speak. We know we have a house has a retaining wall. You could knock down many walls, but there has to be one wall that is holding up the structure totally. And Yosef knew that he had to be that beam that was holding up the structure, because obviously the others did not have the mettle of doing that. They didn't have that, because they had been broken after the last 22 years. Their father had lost faith in them. They had not been together. Yaakov was living a life of misery for the past 22 years, because obviously when Yehuda is making his impassioned plea, and he, one thing that he says that lets the cat out of the bag, exactly how Yaakov feels when he says, when Yaakov says, Vomar af torof torof, he doesn't say that Yaakov says af torof torof, he says, they told me, if you look, Vomar Aftor Aftor, and the story is that he was born. I don't believe it. I really never accepted that. And Yehuda is making reference to that. And that's why, V'chotosi li'ovi kol ha'yomim, because if something goes wrong, and I will be blamed, and then it will totally come out, the fact that I, the whole story will come out, which of course it does in the end. But regardless, this is what Yosef was planning over here, to hold up until Yehuda was ready to hold up the mantle of leadership. At this point in time, since he was the one who said, L'chuvenim k'reni l'yeshme'elim, even though in next week's parsha we have Lo Yosur Shevet Mehuda, but Yehuda had not reached that point until now. And then when Yosef finally saw they're willing to take sides, and they're willing to stand up for each other and willing to lay down their life, now he felt that his being this strong character was the linchpin for letting go and giving up the ghost, so to speak, and let Binyamin free, and send him back home and tell them, Al tigerzu badarech, because if my father is still alive, I would like to see him. And of course, Yaakov is a little leery of going down, but of course God says, Yiviyosef yoshis yado eleinecho. He's concerned because he thought perhaps he could still go home, but Yosef is telling them, Ki ol chameshonim ra'av, you don't really have a choice. Even if you come down now, the next 5 years of famine will kill all your flocks, and then you will have nothing to eat, and you will all die. And at that point in time, from the Haftacha, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi, Alcho, I will go down with you. Be Anochi, Alcho, Gamolo. Why is there a double lashon of Alcho, Gamolo? Because I will go with you. The Bnei Yisrael don't have to worry about Shema Yigrom HaChet. We will all go down, and you will all go down to get, we will all go up. And I will be there to take them personally, which is, of course, we know what happened. But Yosef is the I-beam that he's holding everybody up, and he knows that he has to be that way until Yehuda's ready. And that's actually what we see in the end of days. We have, there are two, I always hate to get into that, but the reality is that there's going to be, according to Chazal, two Mashiach. First will come Mashiach ben Yosef to get them. What is the point of Mashiach ben Yosef coming first? Because he has to make sure that Bnei Yisrael are ready for Mashiach. Even though Yehuda will be ben Yehuda, David, Mashiach ben David from Shevet Yehuda will be the eventual Mashiach. And that will come from Shevet Yehuda. But the person who will get them ready, first Elio Anavi, and then Mashiach ben Yosef has to appear on the scene to make sure to take the reins of leadership, to make sure they are Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, as they had finally at Matan Torah. And that is what we hope. That's the one thing that holds us together throughout the centuries, is that could be Ish Echad B'Lev Echad when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai, which is, and that's why what I would say this, is this the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end? Whichever way we want to look at it, it's, we're reaching now the next week's parsha is the end of the Kufa Sa'avos, the era of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But regardless, Yosef takes the reins for many more years, because even when Yaakov dies, Yosef is only 56. And he's going to be on the throne for another 54 years. And Yosef, as we know, accomplishes much to ease the pain of the eventual Golus, which has already begun. But that's what we're looking for. Mashiach ben Yosef has to be the beginning, because Yosef was the one who brought unity, even though it was a painful unity. But nevertheless, this is the way he had to achieve it, with strong arm tactics to get everybody together and fight for each other. And they finally understood that. And then they would be ready when they leave Mitzrayim and they receive the Torah. They come to that awareness. May we all come to that awareness. And when we reach that period of time, when we have that, as we did, if we take a look on our own lifetime, for those of us who are old enough to remember the Six-Day War, how everybody really gathered together and really was on one side. It didn't matter what type of a Jew you were. It made no difference. The amount of unity in the streets, you could see the unity of people. It was a time that was certainly a turn that Mashiach probably could have come. Unfortunately, something went awry, as with so many opportunities. And all the times that the Chazal and the Gemara and various other people predicted Mashiach, it doesn't mean that they weren't ready to come at that time. But the fact is, something went amiss. Something took us, knocked us off the road, the path that we had to continue on, and we lost our way. May our road straighten for us. May God keep that road straight so we see the road clearly in front of us, so that we don't have to go through a Mechiras Yosef, which continues to haunt us till this day. Have a good Shabbos.